Call your attention tonight to two verses from the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. In this chapter, Jesus has been telling parables of the kingdom. And verses 45 and 46, I want us to consider together. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. If I were to ask you tonight, what are you living for? What's your goal in life? Where are you going? What do you want above all else? While these are thought-provoking questions that in some way ask about the same question, let's look at it this way. What will you have when you get what you want? What is that supreme desire of your heart, and what will you have when you get it? Once you have what you desire, will it be that which is best for you? I'm sure we have different desires that we think will satisfy our deepest needs and will last. Someone may be like a young boy I knew years ago who was sure that if he had the car of his dreams, that particular car, that he would never want anything else, not in his whole lifetime. He would be supremely happy if he just had that car. And of course, we know that his thinking was foolish and unrealistic. His dream car would need gas to run, maintenance, insurance, and like all other things, it would ultimately wear out. What he wanted was good. Nothing wrong with what he wanted. But it was not what he needed above all else. Another occasion, a young lady showed me her new class ring. She was so proud of it, and in fact, that she would be graduating soon from high school. And I showed her my wedding band. And she paused for a moment. She said she'd rather be getting married than graduating. Now, we know that marriage is an honorable estate. It's instituted of God, and I'm sure there's no greater blessing in heaven, in human terms, than to be happily married. But I also know that many marriages turn out to be nearer to hell than they do to heaven. And instead of becoming a haven of blessing and a place of peace, the home becomes a place of torment. And I also know, as you know from painful experience, that every marriage, no matter how perfect, will eventually come to an end when one partner dies. Every marriage will end. Well, someone else's greatest desire may be to get an education. They want to expand their minds, to learn, to grow, so they can use all their potential to the uttermost. And again, this is a worthy goal. An education is good for everyone. An education will be valuable to anyone who makes the effort and pays the price to attain it. But again, we know, all of us know, people that have wonderful educations, but who go through life unhappy, even miserable. Education alone, no matter how good, can satisfy the deeper desires of the human heart. There are many other good things that you may want, that I may want. Maybe you need a new house, you think, or you need more money in the bank so you can be finally secure when you retire. Or the list grows, you know, all the things that we want. Good things. We often think that if we just had all these things, they would give us the best life possible, but that's just not true. They can be valuable. They can be pearls in our life. They can glow with a loveliness, but there's nothing made or grown on this planet that can satisfy the deeper longings of the human soul. There is nothing made or grown on this planet that can satisfy the deeper longings of the human soul. In our best moments, I think we know this. But have an itch for things has spread a foul restlessness even among believers. There's more concern, more anxiety about how to make a living than there is about how to live. But suppose you're able to get all the things you want. What then? Suppose an unknown relative dies and leaves you $10 million, or even less likely, you won the mega lottery and you have more money than you ever dreamed of. Now you can go out and buy your super house with all the latest gadgets. You can have your big fine cars. You can have your servants to wait on you and be at your beck and call. Does all of this, if you have all of this, does this add one inch to your spiritual stature? Does it add one inch to your spiritual stature? In the categories of the spiritual, do you rate higher because of your social climb? Does the extra tithe that you may give to the church and your gifts to other charities assure you of a back door to divine favors? And of course, there are no spiritual resources open to you that are not open to your yard man or your maid or the poorest person that you've ever known. The poorest person in the world has the same access to the love and mercy of God as does the richest and the most powerful. Well, if our goal, our supreme desire, does not draw us closer to God, if it does not help us on in the spiritual life, why do we not, as Paul put it in one place, treat it as dung so that we may win Christ? All the things we may want may be good, but if they do not draw us closer to Christ, we need to get rid of them. While there are many bright and shiny pearls, there's only one pearl of great price. To know Jesus and through Him to enter the kingdom of God should be our greatest desire for all of time and eternity. The greatest mistake anyone can make is to seek after things. No matter how large the power, to seek after things and in the end lose their own soul. Are we willing to turn our backs, if need be, on our pearls to attain one pearl of great price? This merchant, Jesus said, went and sold everything he had that he might buy that one pearl of great price. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? There are some beautiful pearls that may stand between us and the kingdom of God. Money is such an important thing, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's the love of money that causes problems. But you remember there was a rich young man that came one day to Jesus seeking how he might attain eternal life. He wanted the best that he could imagine. Eternal life in the kingdom with God. And Jesus said to him, you need to keep the law. He said, I've done that from my youth up, but what do I still lack? And Jesus saw the problem. This man had a pearl there of great wealth. And he said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And that young man went away from Jesus with an emptiness and a sadness that not all of his wealth could take away. But he was not willing to give up that one pearl to obtain the pearl of great price. On the other hand, I think of Millard Fuller. Name may mean something to you, may not, but Millard grew up over in East Alabama, right close to the Georgia line in Lynette. His father owned a little country store. And Millard didn't like being poor, and so he determined that by the time he was 30 years of age, he would be a millionaire. He went to the University of Alabama, went into business with a friend, was quite well off when he graduated. Instead of owing people, he had money in the bank. And by the time he was 30, he had reached his goal of being a millionaire. He set a goal for more millions. And he came home one day and his wife was packing up all of the belongings and packing up the children and getting ready to leave him. It's a long story, but he was reconciled with his wife. He sold everything he had. The big mansion, the cars, the boat, the house on the lake, all of his stocks and bonds, he gave it all away. And he said the day he gave away $1 million was the happiest day in his life. He gave away this beautiful pearl to have the pearl of great price. And of course, God used him marvelously. He used him, among other things, that which he's best known for, to start the Habitat for Humanity. But not only money, but this position. Nicodemus came to Jesus one day. He was a ruler of the Jews, a man of authority. He was a Pharisee. He would have been looked up to and honored because of his position. He came to Jesus, you remember, at night. He didn't want to be seen. He came seeking answers to the longings of his heart. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. Or you must be born from above. Or you must be born of the Spirit, however you want to translate it. The only time other than this we see Nicodemus is in the burial of Jesus. He helped Joseph of Arimathea prepare Jesus' body for death. Apparently, Nicodemus chose to keep his interest in Jesus a secret rather than give up his position. But there was another Pharisee, a man named Saul, a leader of the Jews, started out to try to destroy the early church and kill all the Christians he could and imprison them. But one day on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. And immediately he turned away from his position among the Jews and gave his life without reservation to spread the gospel. He gave up the pearl of respect and position to gain the great pearl of great price. Again, think of family. A good family is surely one of life's greatest treasures. But one day a young man came to Jesus and wanted to follow him. And Jesus said, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. We do not know if this person followed Jesus or not, but the lesson is clear. Not even family should come between us and the pearl of great price. Many, many has been the missionary who have left their home and their families and their friends to give their lives far beyond homeland, where God was sending them, who were willing to give up the pearl of their family that they might have the pearl of great price. One other pearl, perhaps the greatest pearl that we each have, and that's our very lives. Are we willing to give up our life, if need be, rather than to deny Christ? We all remember how Peter professed his faith and said, though everyone deny you, I never will. I'll die with you. But when the chips were down and Peter was asked if he wasn't a disciple, he denied it once, twice, the third time with oaths, cursing and swearing. He said, I don't know the man. But later, after Easter and Pentecost, Peter was ready to give up his life for Christ. And you know the legend tells us that he was crucified head down, for he did not count himself worthy to be crucified even as Jesus was. What glowing pearls are you clinging to tonight? What pearls keep you from being the person that God wants you to be? Say, Give them all to Jesus. Give them all to Jesus. All your glittering toys, all your glowing pearls, give them all to Jesus and gain Him the pearl of great price. Nothing else can fill your heart in life with meaning, purpose, and joy. Lay all your pearls upon God's altar and go from this place with the pearl of great price in your heart. Lord Jesus, we do thank You that we, each and every one of us, can experience You in our lives and know You as the pearl of great price that gives us life, gives us entrance into the kingdom. Help us to make the decision for You that we need to make tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name.